the book that King Solomon wrote. And he's really trying to find the meaning of life. All right, and that's interesting, right? Because we're all on our own journey trying to find our meaning for being on earth, our reason for being on earth. And so today we're going to dive even deeper into that, because the chapter we're going to go over today, Solomon is exploring all these different things that you can do on earth, trying to find meaning in each one of these things. He talks about success, he talks about wealth, he talks about pleasure, wisdom, work and accomplishments. He explores everything and writes down his conclusion. So we're going to look at that in a second. But that's honestly what life looks like for us, right? We grow up, we go to school, we explore these different subjects in school to see what we like, what we're passionate about, and we're trying to find our meaning, our reason for being on earth, what we want to do with our lives. And the best way we gauge whether something is meant for us is based on our emotions, right? If we like something, we're like, okay, I can see myself doing this. For instance, you're probably not gonna be a doctor if you don't like the sight of blood, right? It's probably a bad idea. You're probably gonna cross that off your list, right? And if math and science frustrates you, you're probably not gonna be an engineer or anything like that. Gigi can attest to that. But it's probably not built for you. And if you don't like listening to screaming children, you're probably not gonna be an elementary school teacher. That would make no sense. But as humans, we find a lot of meaning in the things that make us happy. And so this human search for meaning, which this whole book is basically about, is actually in large part a search for happiness. And so that's what we're gonna talk about today. The title of my lesson today is Pursuit of Happiness.
Come on, Caleb.
Pursuit of Happiness. And first, I want to start off by talking about this research that's been done by a company called Ipsos, and they deliver a lot of survey data for doctors and other businesses, but they did a study on happiness. They asked people, hey, what makes you happy? What would make you happier? And here are some of the things on that list, but a lot of the things here aren't too surprising, right? Physical health. Feeling like my life has meaning, that's a good one. Feeling in control of my life, that's an interesting one, right? Having more money, that had to be up there. Right? Having more money, the amount of free time you have. One that's interesting is being recognized as a successful person. That's a big one, especially as college students. You're basically training to be successful in your field, right? And so that's a huge one. But it's interesting to look at this list, and a lot of these aren't surprising. A lot of them make sense. But what's interesting about this list is that they're all different, right? And that goes to show that everyone is in a different stage of their pursuit of happiness, right? Depending on what their life looks like. And so I can see people's answers changing after a year or so, depending on what they need. And we'll talk more about this, but first let's look at Solomon's pursuit of happiness. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2.
Alright,
let's start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And on Solomon's search for meaning and happiness, in chapter 2, Solomon starts with mentioning pleasure. He explores pleasure. And this morning, we're just going to touch on a couple things. We're going to do a deep dive into a couple things that we could chase on earth if we wanted to try to find happiness. But we're gonna decide if it's worth it for us to be chasing. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
But we're gonna start with pleasure, because Solomon starts with pleasure in this chapter. But the first thing we're gonna look at is chasing pleasure worth it? Right, chasing pleasure. But let's start in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And Solomon says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. And we're gonna skip down to verse 10. But he says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. We'll stop there, but wow. Solomon comes to a conclusion pretty quickly here. But we see that Solomon literally denied himself no pleasure. He chased all sorts of pleasure. He chased it all. And the only conclusion he came up with was that it's all meaningless. Nothing was gained from him chasing pleasure. But let's personalize this a little bit. What are some forms of pleasure that we could chase after today? All right, a big one, you probably hear all the time, something we don't talk about much, but sexual pleasure. Right, it's something a lot of people chase after. It's idolized and glorified. It's put on this pedestal. And you see it in most movies, most TV shows, a lot of music you listen to. And another thing, another form of pleasure that's prevalent today is folly, which is kind of being carefree, doing whatever you want without worrying about the consequences. And we've all craved that at some point as college students. You just want to do nothing and not worry about the consequences. But as college students, some of these forms of pleasure can look like wild parties, clubbing, getting drunk, smoking, living reckless, carefree. Maybe it looks like laziness. Maybe it looks like overindulgence, right? Sleeping in when you want, answering whatever texts are convenient for you, watching 8 hours of Netflix if you want, ignoring any commitments you had, right? And there are many other pleasures of life that you can think about and we can talk about, but even thinking about some of these things I mentioned, most, if not all of them, are sin according to the Bible, which is interesting that God opposes most of these things we find pleasurable. And for a lot of people, when they hear that God opposes some of these pleasures, when they hear that in order to be a follower of God, you have to give some of these things up, most people run. Yeah. They're like, no, I don't want to give this up. It's worth it to me to give into this. They believe they'll find something more, they'll find more happiness and meaning in these pleasures than they do in God. And a lot of people go towards these pleasures. And so the question is, does God just not want us to have fun? Or is God trying to protect us from something? Let's talk more about that. But thinking about these pleasures I listed off, starting with sexual or romantic pleasure, right, and overindulgence, on the surface, the world glorifies these things. They look fun, right? They look great. But thinking about these, a lot of them can cause pain and heartbreak, if you think about it. And this human chase for sexual pleasure, for instance, it can lead to ended relationships, broken marriages, infidelity, separated families, harassment, insecurities, overdependence, broken trust, and all different types of emotional trauma. And that's what can happen when people pursue sexual pleasure and don't pursue anything else. And the more you indulge in this type of pleasure, the more you're going to want from it. It's a never-ending trap. That's what it is. But it's becoming a lot more normalized today. And it all starts with the media we consume. The adult entertainment industry is worth over $58 billion.
Wow.
That goes to show that people all over the world are chasing sexual pleasure. Finding identity in their body count, who they've been with, or how attractive they are. Right? That's real. That's all college students talk about nowadays. And, you know, even talking about other forms of pleasure, right? Partying, drinking, that's super prevalent. I'm looking at a bunch of studies. I did a lot of research on college drinking, and from research, we find that 80% of college students drink every year. And if you think about it, less than 50% of college students are of age. So there's a lot of underage drinking going on, and about 50% of full-time students drink alcohol within this month from this study. And 27% of college students engaged in binge drinking. So this is prevalent, right? But what happens from this is some of these other statistics. Over 3 billion college students a year drive under the influence. It's dangerous. Over 600,000 students are assaulted by another student who was drunk. These are the statistics that come from people pursuing these pleasures. Over 22,000 students a year are hospitalized for drinking too much alcohol. And over 1,500 students die every year from drinking too much alcohol. This is prevalent today. These are our colleges, right? This is what's going on. And so, as enticing as these pleasures can be, is it really worth chasing after? Is it worthy of our time? Will you really be happy if you pursue this pleasure? And maybe some of us are chasing pleasure right now, trying to find happiness. And a good question to ask yourself is, have you really found meaning by chasing these pleasures? Or are you just settling for something less than what you could have? A lot of people, a lot of the time, people chase pleasure to help them cope with the worries of this life. And I've done this plenty of times, trying to cope. Life can be stressful. All the responsibilities, schoolwork, bills. And sometimes it can be tempting to use our pleasures as an escape. Right? It can be so easy to go to our pleasures. The question is this the best way to handle our worries? As someone who's made this mistake a bunch of times, I can tell you guys, it's really not worth it. There's definitely a better way. Pleasure is only temporary anyway. It might help you escape for a little while, but then, after everything's said and done, you're back with the same worries and responsibilities you had before you gave into the pleasure. And now you have less time because you spend time giving into the pleasure. Right? So, pleasure, it's only a temporary fix. It doesn't really fulfill you. And God isn't trying to take away our fun. You see that God's trying to protect us. God's way is just way better than our way. He doesn't remove pleasure from the equation entirely, but he has a specific plan for physical intimacy within a marriage. Right? He has a specific plan for enjoying alcohol, right? But not giving into it, right? Not giving into to drunkenness, but to just enjoy it in moderation. Not to make it something we idolize, rely on, or find meaning in. But sometimes we get impatient and we decide not to trust in God's plan. We don't actually believe that chasing these pleasures are meaningless. So we rather test it out ourselves, right? And for me, whenever I make a purchase of any kind, and Julia knows this, but whenever I'm about to make a big purchase, I do a lot of research. And I don't know if you're the same way, but I'm looking at Amazon reviews, I'm looking at YouTube reviews, I'm like, okay, let me see if this is worth what I'm paying for. Right? And so I did this with my laptop. It's an amazing laptop. It's a Razer Blade 15-inch. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about here. It's a gaming laptop. I bought it because I was an engineering major and I really needed something to run computer-aided design. And so you gotta have a great graphics card. All right, I'm nerding out. But it's a great laptop, and usually the lifespan of a laptop is about 4 to 5 years. It's on its 7th year right now and it's still kicking. You know what I mean? I did a lot of research for this laptop, but let's say I didn't do any research, or I did research but I ignored the reviews. And let's say I found like a laptop, it kind of looked like an iMac, right? A MacBook Air or whatever. And, you know, but it wasn't, it was a Windows laptop. It was for $300, it had 2-star reviews, and it had some crazy reviews. Right here, I have an example here. But let's say people were like, yeah, it only charges to 50% capacity, the battery's crazy, the keyboard doesn't work, right? It jammed after a few days. And it said some other things. And I was like, you know, that happened to them, but it might not happen to me, right? Let's say I did that, and I got the laptop, and it did all these things that the review said. The second day, my space bar got jammed. I couldn't make complete sentences on it. And the battery, you know, it was so weak that if I unplugged the laptop, it just died, right? Let's say that happened to me. That would be my fault, right? Because I saw the reviews, I saw everything that people were saying, and I just ignored them. I was like, it won't happen to me, right? But here we see a 0-star review from Solomon. Solomon's like, hey, all these pleasures, They're meaningless. Zero stars. Don't do it. Right? We could see this and be like, ah, that was him, but maybe not me. Let me just see what these pleasures are all about first. And that can be us sometimes, because, you know, as Gen Z, we'd rather just experience it ourselves sometimes. But Solomon's saying, hey, guys, you be chasing after all these pleasures, but it's all meaningless. All of it is meaningless. Look at my one-star review, right? And Solomon's not the only one that says these pleasures are meaningless, right? This is written all over Scripture, that these pleasures will not fulfill you.
Yeah.
And that's like God putting a zero-star review on it, right? That's like if Bill Gates was like, hey, this laptop is the worst laptop ever. And he's the creator of Windows. If he's reviewing another Windows laptop, you're gonna believe him, right? And in the same way, God is like, guys, I created life. Here's how you should live it, right? Are you gonna believe that review? Are you gonna believe what God says? Are you gonna take it into your own hands? Right? But the question for each and every one of us is, are you gonna take this review seriously? Are you gonna cross your fingers and hope that you don't come to the same conclusion as these guys that we read in Scripture? And so I wanna ask you guys one more time, is pleasure really worth chasing? You guys can come to that conclusion on your own. But Solomon seems to believe that it's 0 out of 5 stars, meaningless. Right. And so let's move to the next thing. Let's focus on the next thing that Solomon tests out. And the next thing that Solomon tests out on his journey to find true meaning and happiness is something that as college students we think about a lot. And that's success. Right? Success, career, wealth. So the next question is success worth chasing?
All right.
Is success worth chasing? And so, just to give you a little background on Solomon and all the success he had, right? First of all, he was king, right? Amazing. Already success. But I'm going to add more to that. He said himself, he said he built houses for himself and planted vineyards all around. He made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. He owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before him. He owned the treasure of kings and provinces. He acquired servants, male and female singers. And in Solomon's own words, in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 9, he says, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. So these are his own words. That's a lot of success. If he became greater by far than anyone before him, that's saying a lot. So if there's anyone who can tell us what it's like to have achieved success, it's Solomon.
Right.
All right. But let's see what Solomon says about chasing success. Let's read it in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. You guys still with me?
Yep.
All right, let's read. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. And he starts very deep with this one. He says, so I hated life. Wow. Yes. Because the work that is done under the sun is grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured all my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all that they own to another who has not even toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. All right, we'll stop there. I heard some of you guys react while I was reading. Some of this is relatable, right? I could think back to college. I couldn't even sleep. Everything was on my mind. So this last line hits me, right? Even at night, her minds do not rest. But Solomon says, again, 0 out of 5 stars, meaningless. And we have a very strong statement from Solomon. He's saying that while he was chasing all the success in the world, he started to hate life because he found all the hard work he did to be meaningless. And Solomon isn't necessarily saying that all work is meaningless, right? But he's saying that drawing meaning and worth from your status and achievements is meaningless, right? It's only temporary. You're gonna have to give it to the person behind you, your descendants, right? And today it's so easy to get pulled into making your career your identity, right? Finding meaning in your net worth or your status, your job status. And most of you haven't started your careers yet, but you're in college, you're training for your career. And it can be intimidating seeing all the other students be ahead of you, right? The students with internships already and jobs lined up after college. I remember seeing that as a senior in college. I didn't have any work experience. I didn't even really have a resume. Yet I'm seeing all these students set up, right, to make a lot of money out of college. And it can be intimidating. It can push you to want to chase after success and wealth. And it can be so easy to compare and have your jealousy motivate you to chase success and wealth and prioritizing that over anything else. And today, a lot of wealth and success is shown through social media in the form of traveling. Right? I've seen so many social media posts with people going to Europe and Asia and going on cruises and vacations, and they're kind of flexing, and it can be like, oh, I want that too. You know, I'm just too broke for it. Let me chase success. Right? But that's just another form we see a lot of. And this is still something I struggle with sometimes too. And I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Adam. And we've been friends since middle school. He's my friend from Michigan. He's not Christian, he's actually Jewish. But we go way back, we're good friends. And recently, he was in New York visiting his uncle. And so he invited me to his uncle's place. He sent me the address. And on the address, I see penthouse number 4. I'm like, wait, penthouse? I'm going to a penthouse right now? And so I go to the address, and his uncle lives in this lavish penthouse in Chelsea, Manhattan. And I'm like, what is going on, right? I like it, but wow, how do I get one of these, right? And so I go up the elevator, it opens up to this grand open concept kitchen into the living room with windows, with the skyline of New York, you can just see out of it. And I'm like, what does he do for a living? Oh my goodness. Come to find out he's a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. I'm like, maybe I need to go back to school or something. But it can be so easy to get pulled into that and be like, oh, I want this. I really want, let me chase after wealth. Let me chase after success. And, you know, to add on top of that, his cousins were in the penthouse too, and we were getting to know each other, and they were telling me about their summer travels. And they went all over Europe. And what hit me is that they went to Rome, right? They were in Rome, just chilling, and they found out that Imagine Dragons was doing a concert there. And they're like, oh, let me just get a ticket, you know? Unfortunately, it was sold out, but guess who played a few days after? Travis Scott. Wow. Did his concert with Kanye West in Rome. And they went to go see that. Just, you know, lackadaisical, hey, let's go to Rome. Let's go see Travis Scott perform in Rome. You know, like, I was like, oh my goodness. Give me a $10,000 check or something, you know? But it can be easy to see people's success and chase after it. And it's so easy. And one thing that was encouraging from that day is that my friend Adam, and you know, he's pretty successful too. He's a homeowner already. He's my age, 25, just bought a home in Michigan. And so he's doing well for himself too. It can be easy to compare in those ways. But he encouraged me, because he knows what I've been doing. I've been sharing that I'm working for the church full time, And one thing that stuck with me is he said, I respect what you're doing because you're really working to help people and you're giving back. It's just a different focus. And that's what he told me. And it put it back into perspective. It's like, all right, no need to compare successes, right? I just have a different focus. Right? And that's what it's all about, a different focus. And so, is chasing success and wealth worth our devotion and commitment? That's the question we come back to.
All right.
And according to Solomon, no, right? He hated life because of it. No, negative one stars, it's meaningless. But there's a big difference between chasing success and wealth versus working hard in your career. Because God wants us to work hard in our career. In Colossians 3, 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Right? So God wants us to work hard and wants us to use our talents and skills to make a difference. That's what he gave us talents and skills for. But what's the difference between someone who's working hard in their career for the Lord and someone who's chasing success within their career? And honestly, it's a different emphasis on priority. It's what you prioritize. Someone who's working hard for the Lord in their career will actively prioritize God over their career. But someone who's chasing success will prioritize their career over God. It's that simple, but it can be hard to see sometimes in your life. And so I just want to name off a few examples of this, but if it's a habit for you to miss church meetings, to go to work, or to prepare for class because you procrastinated, then you're probably chasing success over God. That's an example of that. If you're compromising your integrity by cheating on a test or copying homework to get better grades in class, then you're chasing success over God.
Wow, good point.
If you make it on time to work in class every day, but constantly stroll into church late, then you just might be prioritizing success over God. If you go shopping consistently, but have a hard time giving back financially to God, then you're probably prioritizing wealth over God. If you find time to finish all of your assignments, but can't find time to read your Bible consistently, then you might be prioritizing success over God. If you have career goals, financial goals, but haven't come up with any spiritual goals, then you might be prioritizing success over God. But what is your priority? Is it pleasure? Is it success? Or is it God? Because what you prioritize is what you're going to chase after. And you want to chase after something that has meaning. At the end of your days, you don't want to be like Solomon and be like, oh, everything I did was meaningless. Right? You want to chase after something meaningful for your life. Chasing pleasure just isn't worth it. It's temporary, and most of the time it causes more harm than good. Chasing success isn't worth it either. Wealth is temporary. You're going to have to give it up when you die. And success and possessions are temporary. And Solomon also talks about chasing knowledge in this chapter, which we won't touch on very much. But he says that's also meaningless. Very simple. No matter how much knowledge we have, after we die, where does the knowledge go?
Right.
It's meaningless. So where do we go from here? If all this is meaningless, where can we go? Right. We're in this pursuit of happiness, but how do I get happy? I still haven't gotten the answer, but let's get the answer here.
Right,
I won't leave you guys hanging. But let's go to Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. It says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. All right, we'll don't stop there. But we see here the solution, right? The solution to find happiness isn't to chase after all these things the world has to offer. It's not that. It's to chase after pleasing God. That's what it says here. And what does it look like to chase after a relationship with God? Maybe for you that might mean to study the Bible and learn more about who God is. Maybe it means learning about what pleases God and what doesn't please God. Maybe you already know what pleases God, but you haven't really been putting it into practice and you want to do that more. Maybe for you it looks like relying more on God through prayer. Maybe it means taking the leap of faith and committing to be a disciple, committing to follow God. Maybe for you it means to stop chasing after these other things, like pleasure and success, and learning to be grateful for the things God has given you. But what does it look like for you to chase after a relationship with God? Because what Solomon is saying here is that all we need to do is please God and enjoy the little things he gives us. That sounds great. And the difference between chasing those other things and chasing God is that all these other things, pleasure, success, wealth, knowledge, they're all temporary. They're all incomplete without God in the picture. But God is eternal. God is everything. God is forever. God is everything, everywhere, all at once. And because we're made in his image, God places this desire for eternity in our hearts. Nothing temporary is meant to fulfill us in the first place. God alone is where we find purpose and fulfillment. And as we finish up here, I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 11. And it says, he has made everything in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. We'll stop there. While everything else we could chase is temporary and meaningless, our relationship with God is eternal. It lasts for eternity. God is better than anything else we could be chasing. And the amazing thing about God is that he wants a relationship with each and every one of you. He wants you to seek after him. He placed this desire for eternity in each one of our hearts so that one day we might see our need for him, because he's the only one that's eternal. So that in our pursuit of happiness and in our journey to find meaning in our lives, we won't settle for anything less. And we won't settle for anything meaningless or temporary, but that we find eternal, our eternal and loving God who gives us true fulfillment and happiness. Thank you, guys.